guys, welcome to another episode of Sludge Underground. I have the queen herself with me today. Sash, introduce yourself and what it is you do.
Yo, 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 what's up, homies? My name is Sashita Nordi, and I run an event company called Emolith, and I also do the Varkan Metal Battle Southern Africa. Someone gave me that job to do a few years ago. Fell in my lap, not mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And the event company being Emolith, am I saying that right?
Emolith.
Emolith. All right, Emolith, yeah.
It's a character from an Anne Rice novel. Her witch series, though, not her vampire series. So
okay.
All those people who are in goth cult things, yeah, comes from her Mayfair witch series, one of the characters. That's where I got the name from.
Like, how long have you been doing Emolith, as well as what made you decide to get into organizing and running events in the alternative community in the first place?
So I started Emolith in 2009, and I was actually joking with Tom, the drummer from Belvedere, because he was like, we were talking about how long we've kind of both been in the scene, and he was like, yeah, why do you do this, Sash? Do you just really love the music? And I was like, bro, I think it's because when I was young, I really wanted to be cool, but I was too lazy to learn how to play an instrument like all of my friends did. So I thought I'd become a promoter instead. Seemed to have worked out okay, I guess.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, though, like, we needed more people like you. We still do, to be honest. Like, we still need more people organizing these type of things. And it's a good thing that you did, really. But I do find that pretty funny how it was just a case of I wanna be there, but you know what? Let's just find another way.
Yeah. I didn't have the patience to learn how to play bass guitar, so I thought let me try this backstage organizer thing instead. So we started in 2009. Yeah, I had my first show in Edenvale. Yeah, I mean, Emolith's done a couple of things over the last few years. Aside from just, you know, being a promoter that does shows, I've worked with managing bands, I've done tours. We even for a little while had an alternative modeling agency. That was actually a fun time. It was great. Yeah, so kind of all things alternative. We promote like alternative fine artists as well.
So pretty much everything for the love of the alternative scene.
Pretty much. It's my where I find myself most comfortable and most at home. So I thought it would be a good idea to try and, you know, build up my scene.
I do find that, like, we are, anyone who does get involved in the alternative scene, I don't think I ever realize how they end up there. They kind of just do. And it's the place that feels most home.
I know exactly how I ended up there. I told my parents that I was going to go sleep over at my friend's house. She told her parents she was going to sleep over at mine. And we went to go watch her brother play a gig at Six Pack Lounge in Edenvale. It was underneath the doors. And I'll never forget it. My first gig, I think I was 15, and I absolutely fell in love with everything. The music, the people, the aesthetic, the kind of culture. I was hooked. Hooked.
I think the only shows I ever played out in Edenvale was the Street Cafe. I only started playing shows in about 2015, 2016. I mean, I got involved in music quite late as well myself. I didn't even know Prime Circle had been a South African band until I saw them. That was my introduction to South African music.
Nice. I mean, it definitely, like, I think South African music and alternative music and specifically metal music has definitely gone through a lot of like phases, ups and downs. So like 2015, 2016, Edenvale was quite pumping. It was a great place for gigs.
Yeah, I heard a lot about things going on that side, but not so much when I'd actually eventually gotten involved. I mean, I think Doors was already gone by the time I'd started playing. Like, I caught the tail end of everything. It's so sad. So with doing Emolith, and then how did the Varkan, organizing the Varkan shows, the Varkan Metal Battle South Africa, how did that fall into place along with it?
The Metal Battle started in South Africa in 2013. And at that point, you know, we still had TV stations that played music. So it was organized by MK Onnegrond at that time with Louis de Pisani. So yeah, it started in 2013. And then he ran it until 2016, 2017, he handed it over to me. That was the year that we sent a Megalodon through. But I had been judging since year one. I'd already had been established with Emnath. I'd been on the scene for quite a while. So I had been judging, straight off the bat from 2016. So that's how I kind of got involved. And as it went on, I kind of saw the value of this competition to the South African scene. So I started to get more involved and like helping Louis book all the venues. Until eventually he kind of aged out of the scene and I took over from him.
And how has your experience with it been? Like, is it how with the with organizing it? I know that it is incredibly stressful. I've seen like firsthand with you trying with especially running last year's one. How has that general experience been?
It's a latte, and I keep adding more to my plate. When it was just South Africa, it was so fine. Like I could organize a gig with my eyes closed these days. I've struggled a little bit since we've added the other regions in. There's a lot of challenges trying to organize shows in countries that A, you've never been to, and B, whose language you don't understand. But I've been very fortunate in that, I've been in able to connect with people who are on the ground in those countries, in those scenes. And there are local promoters there who kind of manage the shows and the processes in those countries. It is a mammoth tool. We have like over 50 bands submitting, and you've got to slot them into, I think this year we have 11 shows from across, from the equator down. So yeah, it is a lot of work. But it's such a great competition for growth and development, especially for newer bands. So I know a lot of people who have me on social media will often see me rant about silly things that bands do. But it's really good for them because they're learning skills on how to be a band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I must admit, like that collaboration with people from other countries has just been incredible. Working with these promoters and kind of building up these connections, building up tour routes and relationships with musicians from other African countries is incredibly valuable. Again, just for us in Africa to build up our local scene. I think in South Africa, we're very Eurocentric. All of us want to tour overseas, but we might need to start thinking about how to develop and grow our markets in Africa itself.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, let's get touch on the countries that are involved. So obviously, South Africa. I'm sure the Mozambican guys are involved again. Are the Kenyan guys involved again? Who else was there? Was
Kenya, Botswana as well, where they're doing another show in Botswana this year, not in Gaborone, so they're doing it further up north for more ease of access for bands that come from northern Botswana. Angola, so we're having a heat in Angola this year for the first time. Last year we just had a listening competition for Angola, but this year they're having their first heat, which is incredible. We're definitely leaving some people out. So we've got South Africa, Mozambique, Angola, Botswana, Kenya. Oh, and this year at the final, we will be having a band from Namibia.
Oh, fantastic. That's it, because I remember
So
last year
Namibia.
was defined as the biggest sub-Saharan metal event in the world because it was the biggest collaboration of bands across Africa to have happened so far. And I remember sitting and thinking that was really cool, like, and getting to meet all the guys and stuff like that. I remember my first introduction was Norbomide, which was a Mozambican band who tragically the vocalist passed away.
It's the drummer from Norbomide who runs the battle in Mozambique.
That makes so much sense. And it's crazy to see, like, you're saying is that we're very Europe centric. We always focus on like the West, so Europe, the States, and those type of places. And then you end up learning that there are not just metal bands in these other African countries, but there are these incredibly like passionate little scenes that are sprouting up. Because the guys that I've met from those scenes are so deeply passionate about it, it's actually you feel like you are almost not interested at all by comparison.
I mean, yeah, shame. Those guys, they struggle. They struggle a lot with their scenes. compared to us. We're actually very, very privileged when I think of the guys, and just like what these guys had to go through to be able to get to Johannesburg for the finals. Some of them had never left their countries before. The Kenyans took a 16-hour bus ride and three flights to get here. So yeah, I mean they do have musicians in their scene. They've got some incredible bands, but they are very, very much still quite underground. They struggle to find venues. They struggle to find gear. Yeah, so they got it tough out there, and it's one of the reasons I'm glad that we have this competition. So it kind of highlights, their scenes and their countries, gives them kind of more exposure to the international world.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And then touching, circling back onto one of your social media rants, I think the one that I saw that I laughed at was about the whole logo thing, where you were talking about doing your own show and the do's and don'ts. And just as a quick, like a just a very quick breakdown, what are your biggest like icks with bands submitting for this, where you sit there and you're like, please, why? What is going on here?
I must admit, bands are really bad at, like, in general, reading. If you ask a band to upload a logo, my instructions are quite clear. It's like a no background PNG or PSD file, but you'll still get JPEGs, and you'll still get a band sent me a photograph with their logo on superimposed on the photograph. And man, I'm not a graphic designer, but I'm learning. So that's and changes, like a lot of changes. So bands will enter, they'll submit, we'll allocate them to a heat, I'll do all the art, and then, oh shit, sorry, Sash, we can't make the show anymore. That drives me up the wall, because I've just spent like 3 hours editing the art, re-uploading, changing the ticket links, and then you're just like, ah, hade, can't make it anymore. Soz.
Yeah, I'm
That's
out
very,
too.
that irritates me. Yeah, there isn't too much with regards to the submissions that annoys me, just like incomplete things and bands not replying or filling in things timeously. That is a pet peeve, especially when you're dealing with such big volumes. I have a crazy Excel sheet with all of this information on to try and manage everything. So, yeah.
And then, like you said, this year it's 11 shows across, not just across the country, but across Africa. And that sounds like a logistical nightmare. Because if I'm not mistaken, you go to each show.
Yeah, only when I can find the money to. I try. A plane ticket to a return plane ticket from Johannesburg to Luanda is about 14,000 rand. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that this competition is not funded. People see the name Varken and they think, well, shit, must be a big budget show. We have no sponsors, so like no alcohol sponsors. We have no investment in the competition. It's run with ticket sales from the heats. That's how we run the competition. So when I like have some spare money in my bank account to burn, I'll drop it on some plane tickets. Or like if it's the drive down to Durban, I can cram a couple of peeps in my car and we can share those costs. So I try and make every single heat that I can, but some of them it's just impossible unless, someone's listening to this podcast and wants to buy me a return ticket to Angola. That would be great. So I don't get to make it to all those countries. Unfortunately, it's sad. I'd love to go visit Kenya and hang out with those guys.
Yeah, and like, but I fully understand. Like, in some circumstances, it's not going to be feasible. And like, in regards to like sponsors and stuff, what makes that a possibility? What's in terms of like having an event like this sponsored? Is it something that would have to be from the sponsor side, where interest would have to be shown? What prevents something like that happening?
Well, I mean, think about like your what does a sponsor want when they sponsor an event? They want to sell their product, right? I mean, the numbers, I'm just trying to think back to last year, how many people we got to our final. I think we sold about 300 tickets and then maybe about another 100 people there. So that's 400 people. Whereas, you could do something like a park acoustics that pulls like 800 to 2,000 people. That's what it boils down to. People aren't going to sponsor you because they like your story and they think it's cool. They want returns on those investments. And I think the middle demographic in Africa is too small for that.
I find that even still these days, like speaking of the metal demographic, there's still a lot of people who like heavy and alternative music, but are still completely unawares that there is a local scene. Like I've met a couple of people who are deeply passionate about like heavy music, but are absolutely astounded when they get introduced to South African metal and just the sheer quality that it has reached in the last few years.
I can't relate to those people. I'm just like, how do you not know? But again, it's because my life is so, and has been, for the last sort of 2 decades, has been so completely entrenched in the alternative scene that, like, when I do encounter those people that didn't know we had bands, I'm like, you never like looked on Instagram like hashtag South African metal music? Really? Yeah, I don't know. What are those people doing? Living under a rock.
I'm just as confused as you are. Please don't stress. Like, it does confuse me that if you're into alternative music, like, how have you never looked locally? How do you not look around you for those same things?
Yeah, look, maybe, I mean, it is the fact that we don't really have clubs anymore. And when we did have a lot of like kind of clubs, our music wasn't at a great quality compared to what you see internationally. So even though in like the kind of production that we have and the quality of music that we've had in the last sort of 10, 5 years is absolutely world class, we don't have a lot of platforms to expose that to people, especially people who don't actively seek out gigs, because we don't have like, when I was growing up, we had the Doors. And everyone who was alternative could go to the Doors. In Durban, you guys had Burn, and everyone who was alternative kind of knew that there was this place called Burn, and that's where you would get exposed to that scene. I know youngins today are big into TikTok, and so, since, in fact, since I've started posting on TikTok, I've seen that translate into a lot of young kids coming to shows. I have this theory that, like, teenagers are pissed off because they lost 2.5 years of their life to COVID. And so there's this big resurgence of alternative culture amongst young kids. You can see it on TikTok, man. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I've encountered a lot of like teenagers, young adults, like guys in their late teens, early 20s, who are super like into the alternative stuff. And also, like with obviously with a platform like this, being in a band myself and doing a lot of social media content, I try and just, introduce as many people to those things as possible. Like, where they ask me these questions, like, where would you even go? Or who do you listen to? I've got like a list prepared of like my beginner metal bands for newcomers to the South African alternative scene.
Who's on that list?
Facing the Gallows, obviously, is on there.
Okay.
So at the point in time, like my go-to ones are Facing the Gallows, Red Helen. God, why am I drawing a blank here all of a sudden? Sunken State is on that list as well. Hashtag the Sunken State memes of being on every lineup. Like for instance, Middle Grounds having one last year. There's a good couple that I'll just list out there, and not just like metal bands as well, but alt.
Those four bands, three of the ones you mentioned have been Wacken Metal Battle finalists.
Yeah,
Just saying.
yeah, yep. The Facing the Gallows, Red Helen, as well as Middle Grounds.
Interesting. I'm glad you like the bands you sent. Proves that they're good.
I've always loved Facing the Gallows. I was introduced to them. They were one of the first. I had a friend who, when I was in high school and completely oblivious, I just started playing guitar. And I had this friend whose older sister was like big into like festivals and alternative stuff. And she introduced me to Facing the Gallows. And I'd like literally just started playing guitar. And then from hearing about them, idolizing them as a teenager, and then getting to play shows with them and hang out with them has also been rad. So.
Yeah, those guys are definitely, stalwarts of the scene. They were playing really big stages when I was first getting into metal. Yeah, good times, good gallows. Did you know that their drummer, their new drummer, Dominique McNabb, was born the same year that the band was formed?
No, I knew he was young, but I didn't realize that.
He's 16 this year, and Gallows formed 16 years ago.
Oh, that's
Wild.
fantastic. That boy is an absolute beast, though. I haven't seen them live yet with him, but I've seen some videos, and good God, I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's such a treat. It's really great. I remember watching them at Ramfest in Joburg, and there was one point where I turned and looked, and every single drummer that had played on the Emnath stage that day was just sitting there watching Dom in like complete awe. I mean, even the drummer from The Ocean was just like, damn,
Yeah.
this kid is hot.
Yeah, because like every now and then you come across like what can only be described as like a prodigy. It's they're so young, but they've committed so much of their life and they're just so goddamn talented. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I think also practice. I think, Dom's young, but I think he was born with a pair of drumsticks in his hand. So he's definitely put in the time to be as great as what he is.
Been playing drums for 20 years, is only 16.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a lot of what a lot of guys also take for granted is practice, is how much practice and how much effort and dedication it takes for what is pretty much like a niche within a niche in South Africa. It's very much a passion and a love project.
Yeah, and that's like it's a blessing and a curse. And we talk about practice, and I was having a chat with Paul Gioa from Asylum Studios and ATFN. He's also been around for a long time, and he was saying that he spent more time last year doing like design work and creating videos and making content than what he did making actual music. In the kind of era that we live in right now, it's not enough to just be a band that makes good music. You have to constantly be on your game of your band image, promoting yourself, getting onto playlists, making great content. And that's something I think Middle Grounds is doing really well at the moment. Their kind of social media is really great. They're putting out good videos, they're making good content, they're kind of keeping their band in the limelight. And I think a lot of South African bands take that for granted because, oh, it's South Africa, there's 300 metalheads across the whole country, but it's so easy to tap into an international market right now. And I think that African bands definitely need to up their game in that department. It's going to be difficult because none of us, we thought we could learn how to play bass and do it kind of okay, and that would be that. But there's so much more that goes into being a band
Need other
today.
skill sets, absolutely. And like the thing about Middle Grounds online as well is that it's not just their content, they are also engaging. They are also like cool dudes and they're also nice to speak with and they're very passionate about their not just their music but their fan bases as well. Like you feel like a part of something when you're at a Middle Ground show. You feel like you're part of something when you're interacting with them on social media. And that is wildly important, which is why they have such a dedicated fan base and why they've drawn so many new faces into the scene and into their circle of influence as well.
Yeah, they're doing some good work, man. I'm proud of that band. I can't believe that they've only been around for 2 years and just how much they've accomplished in that short space of time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like another thing for any metal bands that would be participating in this, don't just look at it as a competition. Look at it as a learning experience. Look at what the guys around you are doing. Look at what the guys who are getting through to the finals are doing. Learn from them. Sure as hell know that we did in last year's Metal Battle where we played and made it to the finals. I learned so much from every band that participated, not just in how they played, but in how they marketed themselves, how they handled themselves. Use it as a learning experience, and if you don't win, get better, get good.
It's almost sad that at the end of the night, like for me, actually, it was such a spoiler having to announce a winner at the end of the night, because inevitably people are going to be upset. You've put in so much effort and you didn't make it. Whereas for me, I don't even care who wins anymore. For me, it's about the competition, about that collaboration, about people learning from each other, people meeting each other, the relationships that are built, the skills.
And then, Sash, in closing, before we both get hit nailed by load shedding and then all of this is gone, where can people find you? Where can people find you on social media and keep up to date and learn about this? Hit us with the links, the social media handles.
We are Vakhon Metal Battle Sub-Saharan Africa, or SS Africa if you're on Instagram, because Sub-Saharan Africa was way too long to put into an Instagram handle. But we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Both the Vakhon Metal Battle and Emleth will be punting the battle. And then I suppose you could follow my personal socials as well. I'm a little bit more private in my old age. But yeah, I post a lot as well. I accept most like follow requests on Instagram, but definitely check out the official pages. That's where we drop our bomb content without the rants from Sash.
Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me today. I hope this has been as fun for you as it was for me. And yeah, just for all the information regarding it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for like putting this podcast together. South Africa really does need more content creators, more people interviewing bands, putting that exposure out there. So thank you guys for doing the Lord's work in just promoting the underground culture and alternative music in Africa.
No, absolutely. It's also like likewise with you, just a love for the alternative and the South African music scene. Just so
Yeah,
much
good
has
job,
so
Paul.
much to offer. And
Yeah, hopefully more people start to take notice.
hopefully it's there.